listening to Dallas Theological Seminary's Chapel Podcast.
It's a distinct privilege for me to introduce our chapel speaker of the morning. He is Reverend Brian Carter, who is the senior pastor of the Concord Missionary Baptist Church in Dallas. He has served at Concord since October of 2003, succeeding its founding pastor, the late E.K. Bailey, upon his death. Building on a great foundation, God has continued to nurture and develop Reverend Carter's leadership and ministries of Concord by providing over 3,000 new members to the church in the last 6 years, one-fifth of which are brand new believers. He has also been granted the opportunity to share God's word with many churches and organizations locally as well as nationally, and chairs the E.K. Bailey Preaching Conference that is held each summer. Reverend Carter graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Secondary Education from Oklahoma State University and has a Master of Arts in Christian Education from Dallas Theological Seminary. It was my privilege while he was a student to, he was one of my go-to guys to get with, to find out about what he was doing, how he was progressing, moving through his curriculum, finding out about the church. E.K. Bailey was a dear friend. We used to tease each other that we were twins. And that was an honor when I was referred to that by him as well. But I have so appreciated Pastor Carter, and I have learned much from him, and especially in what needs to happen and yet to happen in the reconciliation between African-Americans and whites, and especially because of the unfortunate and the sinful history of our culture and of our nation in earlier days. And those sins continue in pockets and in people, and we want to eradicate that by the power of God. Reverend Carter and his wife, Stephanie, have been married since June of 1998 and are the proud parents of two daughters and one son. Would you join me in welcoming my dear friend, Dr. Brian Carter, to our platform this morning?
It is a tremendous honor to be here and to be with you. I thank God so much for Dr. Mark Bailey, who has been a tremendous influence in my life over the years. And I thank him for the lunches and the encouragement and the emails. It has been a true source of a true well of refreshment and refreshment for me. I am also thankful to all of the faculty and staff that are present today. It's a real honor to be invited back to your alma mater to be able to share. But it also relieves me of any stress, because if anything goes wrong theologically or homiletically, then you know where I got it from. But I am just simply overjoyed to be here. And so many of you prophets have made such a great influence on my life. And I just want to say thank you for all that you've done in my life. I also want to recognize some important people that are here. First of all, I want to recognize my wife, this presence. Seth, would you please wave? Amen. That's my beautiful wife. And then we have some of our church members that are present, and staff members. Would you all please stand? Some are students here at the college, the seminary. Would you all please stand? Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming. I am honored that you are here, and I thank God for each and every one of you. When we discussed this invitation, I knew that it was Black History Month, but wasn't sure that was the focus. So I'm just going to preach. Although there's a theme of Black History, I pray that if I just preach, that'll be all right. All right? Would you bow with me for a moment of prayer? God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for another opportunity that you have provided, because we truly recognize and realize that we can do nothing without you. And now, Lord, I desperately pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It's in your Son Jesus' name that I say this prayer. Amen. My name is Abraham. And I know you know a lot about my story. My story is contained in the pages of Genesis chapter 11 through Genesis 25. It's in those many chapters that you find my story unpacked. But this morning, this afternoon, I want to tell you and talk to you about how to handle tests in your life. I figured since this is a seminary environment, you ought to know a little bit about tests. But the tests that I went through in my life, they didn't just start in Genesis chapter 22. In Genesis 22, verse 1, you find these words. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. My life was filled with tests. The first test I encountered was the family test. The family test was when God called me and told me to go away to a land that he would later identify for me. So I had to leave my family and my friends, and I set out for a new land and a new territory. I did pretty well with the family test. But then when I got to Canaan, I found myself dealing with another test called the famine test. Because the land where God had placed me found itself stricken with a famine, meaning that I didn't do too well with that test because I lied and pretended that my wife was my sister. And my wife ended up in Pharaoh's harem. But thanks be to God, he brought me through the test nonetheless. The test that shaped my life the most was the fatherhood test. The fatherhood test was that God had told me when he called me out that he would give me a great land and a great name and a great people and a great blessing. But unfortunately, 10 years into that promise, I had no children. So my wife came to me with the ideal of me having a child with my handmaid, Nate Hagar. And I gave in to what my wife told me to do. And so we had a son named Ishmael, but God said that's not the son. It would be 25 years after the promise that God would finally allow us to have a son named Isaac. You should have seen us in that delivery room. I was 100 and my wife was 90, sitting in there with all those younger couples talking about the contractions of 2 years of two minutes apart. They thought we were crazy because there was no Viagra or Cialis in my day. But God had allowed us to supernaturally conceive. And so Isaac grew up very fast, and Isaac became a teenager. And as Isaac was a teenager, he was truly the apple of my eye. And it's while he was a teenager that you begin to find more about that story in Genesis 22, that as a teenager, as me and Isaac were one day doing what we would normally do, I heard a voice that changed everything. It said, "Abraham, Abraham, take your only son, the son whom you love, and sacrifice him as a burnt offering in the land of Moriah." I cannot tell you how that request pierced me to my heart and my soul. I couldn't understand that in the course, after I had waited so long for God to give me what I had waited on, what he had promised me, now God was taking away what he had given me. I couldn't understand how God could bless me, but at the same time, ask for it back again. Couldn't understand how God had told me I would have a great nation under my name and from my lineage. And yet God was telling me to kill, to sacrifice the very son that he had provided me with. If you're not familiar with tests, one thing you must understand is sometimes when tests come, they will cause you to question, what is God really up to? There are occasions in all of our lives where we can't make sense of what God is asking us to do. And I was in that very place. You've been there when your finances were going well, but then all of a sudden, the finances that you had been blessed with begin to dry up. Or maybe in your own seminary experience, after doing well for a couple of years, you ran into Hebrew and ran into Greek and begin to wonder, God, how could you give it to me and take it right back? There are times in our life when a relationship that has so much potential, that's doing so well, and yet that relationship goes through a hard season. We have to ask ourselves the question, God, why this? Why now? Why me? And I struggled with this request that God told me to offer my son as a burnt sacrifice. And that night, I went to bed, or at least I laid my head on the pillow, and I was tossing and turning. And Sarah asked me what's wrong, and I said nothing. But my mind was struggling. So I tried to get ready for what God had asked me for. But I kept having these flashbacks. My mind flashed back to how God called me from the land where I was, from Ur to Canaan. And I said to myself, God is faithful. My mind, it flashed back again to the time in my life when I went ahead of God and had Ishmael. And yet God didn't give up on me. He stayed with me, and I realized God is faithful. Thought about the time when Sarah was locked away in Pharaoh's harem. And yet God rescued her. And I thought to myself, God is faithful. Thought about that God had promised me a son, and I had it. God is faithful. God had promised me a land, and I had it. God is faithful. God had rescued my nephew Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah. God is faithful. And so around midnight, I made up my mind I might as well go to sleep, because the same God who got me through those times, it's the same God that will get me through this test in my life. See, your Bible says I was being tested, but you must understand, I didn't know I was being tested. I wasn't in on the whole story. There are times in our life when God will test us, and you won't understand that he's really testing us. But God only tests those who he wants to raise to a higher level in your walk with faith. See, testing is really an honor. It's an honor that God has so many wonderful plans for your life, that he's put you through some seasons and situations to help your faith not only to be private, but to help your faith to be public. God wanted to know, did I love him for the blessings, or did I love him as the blessor? God wanted to know, did I worship him for what he gave me, or did I worship him for who he was? So that next morning, I got up, and I got up early. I got up so early that I began to cut the wood to prepare for this burnt offering. I didn't even talk to Sarah that morning, because I didn't want anyone to try and stop me from doing what I knew I had to do. I was 100 years old at the time, and I learned enough in my life to stop asking other people to co-sign on what God said to do. In reality, that's what we must understand. So sometimes we're always trying to get somebody else to affirm what God has already told us to do. I cut the wood and loaded up the donkey. I had my servants come, and they got with me, and I gathered Isaac and told them we were going to sacrifice at Mount Moriah in the land of Moriah. So we gathered up everything. We began this long journey. The land of Moriah was some 50 miles from where we lived at the time. It was a three-day journey, but I must tell you, those 3 days were the longest days of my life. When you're going through times of testing, it can be the loneliest and the longest days that you encounter. Because when you wake up, the test is still there. When you go to sleep, the test is still there. And yet what I discovered is that every time I took a step, every time I made it to a certain journey and portion of the journey, God gave me the strength I needed each and every time. So we finally made it, and God confirmed, as he told me, I'll tell you when you're there. And we got there to the bottom of the mountain. And it was there at the bottom of the mountain that I then told my two servants, you stay here. And we begin to make our way up the mountain. And these two servants, they had been faithful. They had gone with us the whole way. What I discovered in life is that when you go through your tests, everybody can't go all the way with you. There are some people that are good people, wonderful people. They were great servants. But I didn't want any hindrances from what God had told me to do. So I said, you stay here. Do you know who you need to leave at the bottom of your mountain? I mean, as God continues to move in your life, as God continues to take you and do things in your life, everybody won't make the journey. But when I turned around, I spoke to them and said, we're going up to worship, and then we'll come back. Yeah, I said, we're going up to worship, and then we'll come back. I know it doesn't sound like that should add up. After all, Isaac was supposed to be a sacrifice. So how could we go up the mountain and then we both come back down? Well, in my mind, I knew that Isaac was already a walking miracle. See, Isaac had come from the dead womb of my wife when she was 90 years old. and the dead body of myself at 100 years old. So I figured if God could do it then surely he could do it again. And so I told them, we're going up to worship, and I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what God is going to do, but this I know, we're going to worship and we'll come back again. If God said the promise is going to come through Isaac, then I have to believe that God will work those things out. That's the essence of what faith is. Faith is trusting God even when you don't know all of the details. So me and Isaac, we made our way continuous up the mountain, father and son. We had many father and son moments. I taught Isaac how to harvest, how to plant. Since we were nomadic people, I taught Isaac how to put up a tent, take down a tent. I taught Isaac how to lead the family. I'd even taught Isaac how to worship, how to serve God. It was that I taught him to worship that made Isaac ask me a question on the way up that mountain. See, Isaac was no fool. He was a teenager at this time. And Isaac looked around, and Isaac saw the wood that he was carrying. And Isaac saw the fire that I was carrying. And he said, Dad, Father, I said, here I am. He said, I see the wood, and I see the fire. But where is the lamb? You cannot imagine how it hurt for my son to ask me those questions, that question. It nearly brought tears to my eyes because I was still wrestling as I went up this mountain. But I told him this answer. I said, the Lord will see to the details. The Lord will provide. I didn't know how. I didn't know what. But I knew that since God gave me the assignment, then God would know how to work all these details out. I learned in my test to stop trying to figure out everything that God was up to. I learned in my journey and in my test with God, I learned that at some point you have to trust God to understand, God, you told me I would have a great nation. You told me to sacrifice him. So God, instead of me trying to answer all of his questions, I'm going to point him to you. And friends, that's the same thing that you and I must do. That when you encounter your test and your friends and family want to ask you a lot of questions about how and what and when, you got to trust God and say, God will provide. Right. That God will see to the details of it. That God, if God has brought me this far, I trust that God is able to finish what he started. So I kept going up the mountain. When we got to the top, I took the wood off Isaac's back. Isaac was carrying his own wood that would be fuel for the flame. And I built that altar. And after I built the altar, I then took rope and tied up Isaac's hands and tied up Isaac's feet so that he couldn't get away. And Isaac, he could have fought me, but because I was his father, he trusted me. And Isaac laid down on the altar. It got harder every step of the way. And finally, knowing that it was time, I took out the knife and I raised up the knife, ready to sacrifice my son. And as I was bringing the knife down, an angel's voice cried out, Abraham, Abraham, don't lay a hand on him. Don't harm him. Now I know. I threw that knife down and I grabbed hold of my son and I untied his feet and I untied his hands and I kissed him and I hugged him and I hugged him and we celebrated on top of that mountain. Yes. But I thought about what that angel said. Now I know. How can a God that knows everything now say, now I know? But what I came to understand was this, is that God already knew how I would act, but God says, I need to put your private faith on public display. So he was just saying, now I can see it. Now you can see it. And there on that mountain, I looked over, and in the thicket was a ram. Now, I didn't see that ram before, but that ram was there. And we took that ram out of the thicket and put that ram on the altar. And there we worshiped God. Me and Isaac, we worshiped and we praised God. And God reaffirmed his promise to me that he would give me a great land and a great nation and a great blessing. God will provide. That's what I call the place. I called it Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. The same God who tests is the same God who provides. That's what I learned. I learned that the same God who tests is the same God who provides. Not only, friends, did he provide for me, but he also provided for you. He provided for you. He provided for me, but he also provided for you. Because 2,000 years later, I would have a great, 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 I got to get through 41 generations, so stay with me here. Great, 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 great grandson. And his name was Jesus Christ. He also was a miracle birth, just like Isaac was. He also carried his own wood to the sacrifice. He also was a loving son in his father's eyes. He was the son who said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." He also asked his father a question on the way to being sacrificed. But he did not ask, "Where is the lamb?" Because John had already said, "There is the lamb." He asked, "If it's possible, will you allow this cup to pass from me? But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." He also had two men with him, but not two servants at the bottom of the mountain, but this time a thief on the right side and a thief on the left side. He too stayed on that cross, but this time there was no ram in the bush. He was the lamb in our bush so that we could have salvation from all of our sins. He died, and then 3 days later on Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. Why? Because the Lord always provides. And when he came out with our salvation, our forgiveness, his grace, his mercy, our sanctification, our glorification, our redemption. I am so glad that the same God who tests is the same God who provides. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you that even in the tests of life, that you also provide everything that we need in our journeys. And so, Lord God, we thank you for Abraham. We thank you for his testimony from Scripture that reminds us that the same God who tests is the same God that provides. We love you. We praise you. Help us to endure and to keep making you proud. It's in your Son, Jesus' name, that we do pray. Amen.
Amen.